Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to the best of Two Men and the Mouse here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I am not joined this week by my good friend and co-host, Peter Mandel. So this is going to be a best of episode, and I have to apologize for that because basically it's my fault that we didn't record this week. I've been engrossed in another project for the last couple weeks. We launched GeekWatchtower.com. GeekWatchtower is another podcast here on the network. Where we focus on everything that geeks watch, everything from reviews to news, kind of like Two Men and the Mouse, but if Two Men and the Mouse were like about Batman and like the Avengers. So basically what we're doing with that, geekwatchtower.com is an everyday source of geek news. So we're updating it on the reg every day. We've got reviews of shows, some that you guys might like too, like Once Upon a Time, I'm going to be reviewing that. We review Flash, Arrow, Star Wars Rebels, Heroes Reborn, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doctor Who. So if you're a geek, I invite you to go check out geekwatchtower.com, your one-stop shop for all your geek news. For Two Men and the Mouse this week, because the site launched on Monday, and that's usually when Pete and I record, we weren't able to get together because I was just insanely busy writing copy and editing stuff. So I promise the show is coming back on its regular day and time next Tuesday. But for this week, I figured the best of Two Men and the Mouse was in order. I didn't want to just give you guys a week with no Two Men and the Mouse again. So this week, I decided to be a little timely. So I wanted to go back in time over about a year ago, actually, to episode 29. It was autumn in Walt Disney World. It's autumn right now, obviously. It's Halloween time here in Disney. And, you know, no better time, I think, because the decorations are always so wonderful. So we're talking about, all the things to do, from Halloween to, not so scary, just all the different ways you can have fall fun in Walt Disney World. So here you go in the Wayback Machine or Time Machine or whatever the heck you want to call it, back to episode 29 of Two Men and the Mouse, Autumn in Walt Disney World. It is Labor Day here in the United States, and that marks the unofficial end to summer. As we head into the autumn months, Pete and I got talking about this wonderful season in Walt Disney World. It has got to be our favorite season to visit the parks, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. I mean, like, no better time to go.
I used to mix it up at this point, not even.
Yeah. I love going in the autumn. I really, really do. That's why this week on Two Men and the Mouse, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, we are discussing our favorite aspects of autumn in Walt Disney World. It's exciting.
It's my favorite time to go.
Yeah, totally.
This is the easiest thing I think ever to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, when I brought it up, we were like, oh, what do you want to do? And it was just like, oh, can we do autumn? Do you think we could fill the time? And you were like, absolutely. So, we're going to give it a try. So, autumn, definitely your favorite time?
Yeah.
What about you, Mort? Favorite time?
You know, and not just because I feel like Sunny Eclipse
You're talking over
Mort. In the fall.
True.
I just do.
He's a little more on top of his game.
Yeah, I feel like he really gives it his
You just talked right over game. Mort.
I didn't hear him. What did he say?
Who cares? All right, back into the topic. Don't make that face. Back into the topic. Sunny Eclipse definitely has his A game on in the autumn. A for autumn. That was horrible. Sorry. So, how do you want to start off with this one?
First off, I think we should apologize to anyone who has, and I'm going to be in this boat shortly.
School-age children?
School-age kids who cannot take them out of school.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. My kids are still pretty young. They can miss a couple days of grammar school, and it's not a big deal. But I 100% get and will be there shortly, you know, parents who can't take their kids out of school.
Of course not.
Because I don't know what I'm going to do when that comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like fall so much in Disney World.
It is
I'm
a
not
wonderful,
sure what I'm
going to
do.
So, folks, I mean, let's look at the differences in fall for Walt Disney World. I mean, first and foremost, I think it's got to be the decor, which we touched on a bit in the news section. Really only Magic Kingdom is affected by this. There's really no...
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, we're talking the jack-o'-lanterns, we're talking the fall color scheme. I mean, the music's all the same and stuff like that, but, you know, it's very much Main Street USA really becomes, like, an autumn kind of, like, I don't want to say Wonderland, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say Wonderland, because it's not just Halloween decos. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, by the time the Halloween stuff comes down, that Christmas stuff goes right up.
Of course.
So, I mean, you're looking at a heavily decorated Main Street. You know, I always say, in some ways, I like Mickey's Not So Scary more than Mickey's Very Merry.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I always say that because no matter where you are in Disney World, at the Christmas season, it's very Christmassy.
Of course it is.
When in all reality, no matter where you are in Disney World during Halloween season, other than Main Street, it's not super decorated.
No, I really can't think of anyone else that has a lot of Halloween decorations other than Main Street.
That's why I think Not So Scary is so, I mean, it smacks you in the face with Halloween.
I think
it's great, you know?
Right.
Now, listen, I like Very Merry also. But you get a real Christmas feel all the time.
Right. It's like an all-day kind of thing.
No matter where you are. You know, Epcot, Studios. I mean, it's Christmas, you know? So, but yeah, walking down Main Street with all the orange, I love it.
Oh, yeah. Of course you do.
I do like orange. But I just meant
you love
for,
your
I
orange.
Meant for fall decos. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they don't have, like, leaves falling, because that would have been, like, because, you know, like, they make it snow during Christmas.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm glad we're not going with the leaves here.
Well, somebody would have to rake the leaves up.
Yeah, exactly. It could be, like, a stamp a little Walt Disney World or Magic Kingdom on those leaves. That's a take-home souvenir.
Oh, we'd all be taking home
I would have garbage bags
me
full
too.
Of them. I mean, I have garbage bags full of leaves now, yeah. But, you know.
I would spread those on my lawn. I'd
totally.
Make sure I have so many extra.
Glue them onto my trees.
Yep. that's a good idea.
But you know what? And going with what you were saying, though, I think one of the biggest things going on in the fall, and I think we got to just get it right out of the way right in the beginning, is Not So Scary. I mean, it is the premier fall event in Walt Disney World. And that, folks, starts in September, like mid to late September, and runs through Halloween, obviously.
I think it's worth the money.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you get so much with Not So Scary. And folks, we're not going to go into a ton of detail on Not So Scary because, spoiler alert, we are going to be doing a full e-ticket on Not So Scary in the very near, in the not-so-distant future. But yeah, I think Not So Scary, I mean, bang for your buck, got to be the best hard-ticketed event in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I mean, it's close to Very Merry, but I mean, if you wanted to make the case that you could find a night with extra magic hours when the Magic Kingdom's open past 12,
right.
That time of year, I mean, I guess it's similar, but there's so many added things.
No, I mean, you can go trick-or-treating, to mention the best parade and fireworks show on property.
Absolutely.
The Disney villains mix and mingle. And now that they're involving the villains so much more, like we just saw Villains Unleashed, and they have the hard ticket event now, they have the the add-on, the premium package for Nazis where you can like dine with the villains. I think that like it really kind of feels like the one time a year the villains kind of take over the park. And for as a villain person, it's a big thing for me. Not to mention the Halloween candy is out of this world, and you get to dress up in costume.
The
only time an adult can wear a costume. Have you ever worn a costume in Magic Kingdom?
Well, you know what? Last time we went... We went last year, so we went to the party, and my son went as Captain America. My daughter went as Aurora, which, by the way, she does anyway.
Yeah, doesn't she always go into the Magic Kingdom
with
a princess
dress on? Yeah, my
daughter,
when we go, she usually brings a couple princess dresses with her so she can, like, you know, rock her style.
Right, because she's young enough now she can do that.
Yeah, and that's fine. So my wife, we decided to surprise the kids. My wife went as a kitty cat, and I just rocked a Superman t-shirt, of which I have, you know, some.
Yeah,
and,
I would say
an
so.
An awesome Superman cape, just a little makeshift Superman. We didn't want to go over
so
the
you
top.
Were like, so you were like horrible Grant Morrison Action Comics Superman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not jeans, but yeah.
I should have worn jeans and boots. You could have been like
still
that.
Hot, though.
You know, I look at the costume, and I'm just like, where did you get that costume? You know, I just have to say, like, you know, just a t-shirt and some jeans and maybe like a cape. That's my Grant Morrison.
I know. You sounded actually just like
yeah.
But more coherent.
That's Grant Morrison on a good day. Sorry, folks. Hack Writers notwithstanding. I don't like him very much.
Really? Oh, I do like him.
No, I don't like it. Well, I like what he was. I don't like what he's become. But that's for when we eventually get the Rogue Comics podcast.
Yeah, that'll be a whole different podcast.
Yeah, that'll be a whole different podcast.
So I did wear a Superman cape the whole time. It was fun. You know, I mean, I wanted to kind of not wear a costume per se and kind of just do something casual.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a costume guy.
Not that. I want my kids to be the stars. Right. You know what I mean? They love wearing costumes and going to have a good time and trick-or-treating.
The next time we go, I've got a couple ideas for costumes. It will either be next time we're Not So Scary or if we go to D23 because you can cosplay there.
Right.
So it'll either be, my wife and I will have to do like some kind of pair off thing. We were saying Chip and Gadget from Rescue Rangers.
Okay.
I really want to see if I can make a Sunny Eclipse costume work. I mean, come on, that would be the ultimate.
Good luck with that.
I would like to do like be like the young Dreamfinder from the comic book series and have my wife like Disney bound Figment.
Okay.
But I feel like she would think that's not costumey enough. The other thing, and this one I think is the one that needs to happen because my wife would actually looks like this character too, would be to go as Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Vanessa Doofenshmirtz.
You could do that.
We could. We could totally do that.
Audio and all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would be doing it the whole night. Then I'd get kicked out because people would be treating me like a character.
Yeah, you would have to call me the next day because I would need to hear your speaking voice the day after that.
Oh, it wrecks me when I do it for 5 minutes. Right. So, yeah. Okay, so let's move on from Not So Scary. I don't want to go too hardcore into
it. Yeah, we could
talk
about that for 40 minutes.
Yeah, and we will very soon. Not so distant. So what else do you like? I mean, like one of the things, you also get a lot of different kinds of snacks in the fall. Very pumpkin-y.
Yeah.
Get a lot of pumpkin-y
now,
snacks.
I don't know if this is, I wish I could remember what resort restaurant I was just looking at. But I was looking at a restaurant that had a spiced pumpkin creme brulee.
Ooh.
Can't wait. I love creme brulee. Come on. Spiced pumpkin creme brulee?
Yeah, my wife would go nuts for that. She's a big creme brulee fan.
Me too.
But yes, I mean, listen, wherever you are in the fall, you are smacked in the face with pumpkin everything.
Right.
But at Disney, they do pumpkin. Like, I'm not usually a person that likes pumpkin. Like,
really?
Yeah, not a huge fan of it. My wife got some pumpkin spice beer yesterday. I took a sip of it, and I was like, all right, I guess. But, like, I'm not really a huge fan of it. I'm more of an apple guy in the fall. Like, apple pie, apple cider.
I get that.
Red's apple ale, like, that kind of stuff. But in Disney, I like the pumpkin. They do pumpkin better than anybody else. Not a pumpkin pie guy either. Apple pie.
Really?
Apple pie is my jam.
I love me some pumpkin pie.
But yeah, like pumpkin beverages, pumpkin pastries, pumpkin desserts. I mean, like, you want it, you can find it pumpkin-y. So speaking of food, I think the biggie for food in the fall in Walt Disney World, there's two big things that happen food-wise. Number one is International Food and Wine Festival, one of our favorite things to do in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I love it.
So much so that, like, I wish I were in a position where we could just take a small mini trip there for that every year. Because I love it so much.
Yeah. Don't go first week or last week. How many times have we
Yeah, no,
said
you
that?
Go right in the middle.
But I guess maybe in some way I'm envious of locals for that. I mean, they get to go every year, you know.
Totally.
Go for a Saturday night or something, just check it out.
But you know what? I mean, and this is not saying anything against being a local down there, but like I feel like if I could go whenever I wanted to, I feel like it would lose some of the allure. Like,
no, absolutely.
I couldn't imagine going and not doing Magical Express to the point where, like, I feel like let's say I moved to Orlando and I flew home to, like, visit my parents, I would fly home into Orlando International Airport with a reservation for, like, a day at Disney just so I could take Magical Express over there because, like, it's such a treasured part
of my... I get that. But it's because that's what we, you know, connotate with our, you know, great vacation memories.
Right, right. I like that early morning airport arrival. There's nothing like it.
Listen, I'm probably the only person in the world who loves going to Newark Airport.
Oh, yeah. I love it, too.
I get to Newark Airport, and I'm like, this place is awesome. And I'm surrounded by people who I'm sure are like, what are you talking
about? Yeah, I've flown twice in my life. Both times were to Disney.
You've never seen four people as happy to be going through security check at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, totally. No,
as the Mandel family, we are like giddy. We are like shoes are coming off. Like we are thrilled.
I am the same way. I'm making friends with the nice TSA people.
Yeah,
like, you know.
I find when you're just super nice to them, they are like happy that there's somebody happy in front of them. They're
exactly.
always like very nice to us.
Exactly. Because I mean, I'm sure they're used to people not being thrilled to see them. So,
and us, we're usually leaving early enough that like, you know, their morning's just starting off. So they're happy to kind of
totally.
But that same thing, you know, I mean, we love that so much. Because when we go to Newark Airport, we're going someplace awesome.
And the thing I love about leaving in the fall, to bring us back on topic, is I'm typically leaving Orlando. I'm leaving New Jersey in long jeans and like a long sleeve shirt because it's cold. And then we get down to Orlando, and I have that moment where we step outside of Orlando, and I'm still wearing that, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness!" It's a-. And then like when we get to the resort room, is when I don don my Orlando gear.
I don't. I'm the opposite.
You shiver in the cold until you...
By cold, you mean from the car 14 feet to the door of the airport?
There's something about it that I like.
I'm okay.
I watch our 2009 video. Like, I'm filming my wife in the pirate room, and she's wearing a long-sleeve green shirt and long jeans and, like, boots. And it's just so cool. Like, we're in Disney World, and you're wearing that. And we're about to change and go into the park. You know, like...
I don't want that, but I'll explain why. For me, I'm not going to be cold. My car has heat. So I'm like not really at any point not in heat except when I need to walk into the airport, which I'm dropped off curbside.
Right.
When I get into the airport, and especially when I'm on the plane, I would rather have the advantage of throwing a blanket over me if it's cold. I'm typically never cold on an airplane of anything. I'm kind of the opposite.
Right.
So I don't want to be in anything more than a t-shirt and some shorts. I'll throw a blanket over me if I need it. I don't want to have like long sleeves and get that. I want to be able to be comfortable on the plane.
I can understand that. I could totally get that. I respect that even. It's just, you know, just personal.
Although, it's funny you say that because you asked me before the show, hey, are there any downsides to going in fall? And I mean, there's not. But if you want to make, let's say, two. Number one, we discussed it. My kids are always like, we're going to go in the pool. And I'm like, I can't guarantee it's going to be hot enough to go in the pool.
Right.
Especially not considering a lot of times my kids will go in the pool after a day in the parks.
Right.
So now the sun's gone down at 5 o'clock. Which for me is a plus for going in fall.
Well, yeah, because
I love the parks at night.
Yeah, you're getting to experience more nighttime activity.
Yeah, I love that. But now, you know, maybe it's 70 degrees. And I'm not always, 70 degrees and breezy isn't always pool weather for small children. So that's one thing, if you want to call that a downside. The other thing is, when you go in fall, I'm typically an early riser in Disney World. So now there's times we're going to be getting up and walking out that door at 7 a.m. What if I have an 8 a.m. breakfast? I want to make sure I'm there early and I get everything done. You're walking out your door at 7 a.m. It is not 90 degrees t-shirt and shorts weather.
No.
It is. I'm cold, sitting at a bus stop, shivering.
Yeah.
I need to have a hoodie on.
Yep.
I'll always wear shorts. I wear shorts during, you know, anything. But I need to have a hoodie on. What am I doing with this hoodie in 3 hours when I'm totally not going to need it for the rest of the
right.
day?
Right. And that's
so what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
Which would be
that's
interesting.
That's for the backpacker. Well, normally it would be the stroller.
Right.
But.
So this trip is going to be the – I'm going to have to go back to figuring out where it's going because I've always just thrown it under the stroller.
Well, you can get a backpack.
Yeah. But do I want to fill my backpack with four people's like sweatshirts?
No, that's true. I keep forgetting.
You know what I mean? And you got to go light sweatshirt. You're not going to wear a big, thick sweatshirt.
No,
I mean, you're not fitting four of them in a bag.
Maybe you just kind of deal with it in the morning. And
yeah, it's just not fun.
Yeah, just shiver it out.
It's cold.
Shiver, huddle together. You'll be fine. You're not going to get hypothermia in Walt Disney World. So,
unless you go in December of 2000.
Yes, then you're done. Okay, so International Food and Wine Festival, really great. Now, the perfect complement to International Food and Wine Festival is something that, listen, people count on it every fall. It doesn't mean it's always going to be every fall. I dread the year that they're not going to do it, but free dining. Free dining, folks, for those of you not aware, is usually in the fall months, like fall, special, during the value season, Disney will give you the Disney dining plan, the standard Disney dining plan, free of charge. That is one table service meal, one counter service meal, and one snack per night of your stay for $0.00. And when you're dealing with food and wine, that's huge because most of the kiosks are snack credits.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Yeah. I also dread the day where they're going to turn that into a counter service meal, but...
No. It's not enough food.
You never know.
how many times have you gotten the things and you're like, this is a perfect tasting, but I mean, they've designed that so you will go and eat multiple.
That's true. It's sample sizes.
I do like free dining, of course. How could you not like it? I've done it a bunch of times. It won't dominate when I plan my trip. I try not to.
But it's nice when you get it.
Absolutely.
Well, because the thing is, when you plan your Disney trip, it's typically months and months and months before.
If
up to
a year
in
advance.
Yeah, a year in advance. And they're not announcing free dining until, like, maybe 3 months before it happens.
Right.
I mean,
but it's nice when
you just kind of got to pick and choose. I mean, I saw one person said on our Facebook group recently that, you know, she tried to catch free dining, and she ended up going during, like, the one period during the fall where it's blacked out.
That always happens to me.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's talk about value season. I mean, typically it is the most inexpensive time to go because typically not as many people are going in the fall because of school.
Right.
My thing as a young couple without kids, for me and my wife, when we were going to go, I said September.
Right.
September, because, you know, while many parents will take their kids out of school to go to Disney, they're typically taking them out in like after the holidays, after the new year. And the month where they're least likely to take them out, in my opinion, is September.
Right, which here in the Northeast is when they start school.
Right. Who is taking their kids out of school the first month of school?
Right. I agree.
And I was right, because there was the parks were empty when we went the 1 year, was September 23rd to 30th.
Well, it's the same philosophy as mine. My choice, if I had to pick 1 week to go every year for the rest of my life,
it's the first week of December.
It's the first week of December.
Right.
Because nobody sits down, eats Thanksgiving dinner, gets up and says, hey, we should go on vacation. Everybody goes Christmas shopping.
Except for you, who's going to be like, we're going to eat Thanksgiving dinner at 11 a.m.
At 11 a.m.
And then I'm going to jump on a plane and go to Walt Disney World.
Listen, I'm trying something new this year. I'm willing to potentially sacrifice my Thanksgiving, although we're still having Thanksgiving.
Right.
But I'm messing it up for my entire family to maybe try and work in these extra wonderful Disney days. Let me do the experiment and we'll see what happens.
Everyone's going to be passing out with tryptophan, and all of a sudden Pete's going to be like, all right, everybody out.
That's right.
Time to go.
My kids will be passing tryptophan, you know, haze, like, on the airplane. So it'll be perfect.
Oh, it actually will be perfect.
I hope so. Let's hope.
Yeah. Yeah, not home.
But that's my point, is that no one, that first week in Disney is, now listen, we've talked frequently about how there is no more empty. But
right.
It is not as crowded,
right,
per se, because everybody is Christmas shopping.
And you're finding your lowest rates of the year.
Yep, absolutely.
The heat is not as I mean, if you go in, like, early September, yes, the heat is still oppressive. But
right.
Oh, another thing for those of you folks, a little tip that I would have for you, because I learned this lesson the hard way that year I went, September 23rd to 30th. You also want to be cognizant of when schools will be out for long weekends. The Jewish high holidays are in there, and I didn't realize that when we booked. And so, like, all of a sudden, like, on Saturday, I'm like, why is Dak shoulder-to-shoulder people right now? What's going on? We've literally just done 3 days where we have walked on everything except for Toy Story Mania. Why can't I move right now? And I asked somebody, I'm like, what's going on? Is there, like, extra magic hours this morning? They're like, no, it's, you know, it's a long week. It's a long holiday weekend. And I was like, no. So for 3 days, I had to deal with it. Then come Tuesday, which was our last day, everybody gone.
Right. Well, I mean, like, for my trip, I'm anticipating, you know, we're going to get there Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I know we're going to be crazy. It's still holiday weekend.
Right. Well, that's why if I'm going to do a full week, I will typically go, if I'm doing a full 7 days, I'm going Wednesday to Wednesday.
Okay.
Because I want that weekend where it's going to be more crowded to fall in the middle of my trip. So when I get there, I have a couple days where it's lighter. And then when I leave, before I leave, it's a couple days where it's lighter. So that's, like, my little strategy. If I'm just going for 5 days, I'm going Monday to Friday.
Right.
Maybe leave on Saturday, 5 nights. But yeah, that's my little tip. Leave in the middle of the, leave to go in the middle of the week, come back middle of the week, because just get that week, get crowded weekend out of the way in the middle of your trip where it's not gonna be the first thing you deal with, and it's not gonna be your last memory.
I've never been able to do that because of work. You know,
right.
I'm kind of bound by days sometimes.
Well, yeah, your Wednesdays are huge. So
right.
Well, it's new comic book day. What do you do when you go down and a Wednesday happens?
It's interesting. I've kind of worked it out now because in the comic book world, we get, back in the day, you used to get your delivery day of. Now you get it
Tuesday night.
The day before. So you can kind of prepare a little bit. And, you know, I have wonderful friends who help me out and family.
Right.
So, you know, they understand the need.
Right.
for 1 week of the year to go to Disney. So
you never asked me to run the store while you've been gone.
Yeah, you want to help out this year?
I totally want to do that.
Would you really?
Run a comic book store for a day? Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's like a bucket list thing.
All right, well, considering I have a 10-day trip ahead of me, I'll pencil you in, Kevin, because
yeah,
I'm going to need help.
Please do. I mean, on a day where I'm not working or anything.
Right.
Oh, wow, folks, that'll be a day to visit Rogue Comics when I'm in charge of it.
Yeah, come see Kevin Kessler.
Yeah. Live like Peter Mandel.
On December 4th, working at Rogue Comics.
Yes, living like Peter Mandel for a day.
Yeah. It'll be a really tough day for you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. What else we got for the fall here, Peter Mandel? Is there anything else that you think it really exemplifies the fall?
Is it wrong that I get very excited about the fact that Duffy rocks the pumpkin?
No, not at all. I mean,
and then
awesome.
Rocks the Santa gear?
Of course.
I mean, I can't help it. I think
now, could
awesome.
You imagine going, let's say you went like tail end of October, and you could feasibly then get Duffy in the pumpkin, the following day get Duffy in the Santa.
Kevin, you know that was originally the plan for this year.
Yeah, I know.
I concocted. Because
you wanted to do Not So Scary and Very Merry in one trip, which is madness to
me. I was going
to
try and concoct this plan to do both. Because I think they're separated by about a week.
Are they?
So if you could do one, like, let's say the first night, and then do another one, like, towards the end, come on, how fun would that be?
Be a lot of fun. But typically, then you're doing both in, like, the final days and first days, so they're going to be more crowded than they would be normally.
Well, it's weird. I think they used to actually rock a Not So Scary. I mean, maybe they still do. Jeez, they didn't even really look at the dates. But I don't think Halloween's the last day. They used to do, like, a November 2nd.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they used to. I don't know if they still do. But, so I would try and do one of the last days, you know, if not the last day, and then
you mentioned cons going in August, in autumn, and I actually was thinking about that, and I actually came up with a few potential cons.
Oh, hit me.
Hurricane season is at its worst August to October.
Right.
So you're kind of taking a gamble if you're going in like that September October time period. Now, that being said, I've gone twice in that time period, and I've never had an issue, but, you know, you never know when the world is going to, you know.
When a newly named hurricane is going to come to Disney World.
And with my luck, it'll be like, you know, Hurricane Pete, and I'll be like, no!
Oh, my God, Hurricane Mort scheduled to roll through Orlando.
Yeah, oh, that would be the worst. Oh, Mort, the day your hurricane rolls through Disney. Ugh.
All right, what else you got?
So it was also.
By the way, Kevin, let me just make a suggestion. Should Hurricane Moore ever roll through Disney World while you're there? Poncho, my friend.
Yeah, no.
Poncho.
No.
Hurricanes take a while.
By the way, with the poncho rant from last week, many people thought I was crazy, and many people agreed with me. So, just pointing that out.
You'd look good in poncho.
I would not
Mickey
look good
Mickey right on your chest?
No, I wouldn't look good in that.
Come on.
No, I'm okay. So other cons. So you got hurricane season. Here's one thing I was thinking of. If the only time you ever go is that fall time period, you're never getting Main Street in its natural state. It's always decorated in Halloween decorations. So I will say, like, the last two times I've gone have been September.
You might be right about that.
So the second time I went, I'm like, oh, okay, this again. Like the pumpkins again. The Mickey head not as bright as it usually is out front. So, like, if you want variety, go different times. But, you know, I'm just saying.
You're right about that. I used to actually go in February a lot. So I would have, like, you know, like October and then, let's say, December and then February.
What's it like in February?
I like in February because it's really cold here. See, you take the gamble going in fall if you're from the Northeast.
Right.
Because in your head, you're like, I'm going and it's going to be cold here and it's going to be warm there. It's not always cold here. Like, you can't tell for sure.
Right.
Like, when I'm leaving on Thanksgiving, am I going to be leaving 30 degree temperatures here? Probably not. It might be just the same. There have been times it's been virtually the same temperature here as there.
Yeah, I know.
So, whereas if you're going in February, listen, it's cold here.
Right.
I mean, the odds of it being 65 here in February, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? It could, right. But unlikely.
I like going
in February.
I feel like I'd be super scared that it would snow.
What?
Like the day I'm supposed to leave.
Oh, I've had that happen.
Yeah. I'd be like super, super scared about it.
We took a night flight out of Newark, and it was an 8 o'clock flight, I want to say. Maybe closer to 9, can't remember. This was early on. My brother-in-law worked for Continental at the time, so he flew down to Orlando that day with his Discman. And his, like, you know,
right.
Money for food. And he's like, I'll meet you down here. So he has to stay there all night. Because we didn't get there until, all I remember is getting to my room at Caribbean Beach at like 6 a.m. because I told you, it's my brother-in-law wanted to go straight to the parks.
Right.
But yeah, that's no, there's nothing you can do. You know, yeah, the plane's got to get de-iced, which, by the way, is an entirely another nerve-wracking process. You know?
I can imagine.
It wasn't fun. I don't want to do that again.
But anyway, we're not talking about the winter. We're talking about the fall. So other things that I think could be of a detriment in the fall. Well, like I said, if you're not cognizant of when those long weekends, because there are a bunch of them in the fall, you know, you could fall into that, you know, trap. You know, I mean, that's why I think variety is the spice of life. You really need to try different time periods. I'm just saying this is my favorite.
What about the Christmas ornament trap?
Well, that's a trap that I fall into here, too.
I mean, here's the thing.
Hallmark has their Disney ornaments.
Oh, I know. I went and looked at them today.
Yeah. I mean, oh, my God. So there's so many that I want. Fireman Mickey. Yes,
no,
please.
You know which one's awesome? It's $35.
The Gonzo one.
There is a Mickey, I believe, in Goofy behind the camera. Almost.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Walt.
Did you see
what happens when you turn it on?
No.
Oh, they have a whole routine.
Oh, that's
you need
cool.
to press the button. It is totally worth $35.
I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I'm trying to talk my wife and let me get it.
Yeah.
But when you're there, like if I'm there in February, if I'm there in June, and I go in the Christmas stores, it's like, oh, look, there's Christmas stuff. Yay. I like looking at this stuff once a year.
Yeah.
But if you're there November 30th and you're in a Christmas store, you're buying something.
Of course you are.
Because you're like, oh, God, we're going to go home and put this right on
the
tree.
I'm always buying Christmas something while I'm there, but, you know, that's just me.
I will say, I've also gone to downtown immediately after Thanksgiving, like that weekend.
Really?
Madness.
Oh, I could assume because, you know, it's
madness.
There's no admission to get in. It's where everyone's going.
Yeah. It was crazy. I remember being so upset. This was back in the downtown heyday when you'd go like every night after the park.
Right.
We went down there on a Friday night. Was it Black Friday? It might have been Black Friday.
What are you doing there on Black Friday?
It was the first day we got to Disney that year. And we went downtown and it was madness. I mean, like Comic-Con style, shoulder to shoulder.
Ooh, that's never good.
It wasn't cool.
Never good.
It did clear out, though, later in the week.
Hmm. So, do you have anything else you can think of for the fall?
Other than how much I love it?
Yeah. I love it, too. Very much so.
And now the characters and costume.
Yeah,
I mean, characters and costume and costumes.
Yeah, let's touch on that for a minute. Like, we do, there are some, like, fall, but you know what? Like, I feel like Farmer Mickey and stuff like that just makes more sense in the fall, even though he's there all year round.
He's there in spring, you know?
I know, but it just feels better in the fall.
Listen, post-Halloween, now, of course, at the party, you get Halloween characters.
Of course.
But post-Halloween, like in November, they start putting some of the characters with Christmas scarves.
Right.
I like all that stuff.
I do, too. I totally do.
I think
do.
It's just a good time.
But you know what I also love? There are a bunch of, like, speaking of characters, that you know, characters. You can meet the villains at Not So Scary.
Right.
Jack and Sally, which, by the way, I think Jack and Sally should also be at Very Merry with Jack in his Santa costume, but that's just me.
Yeah, I get that. I won't take the exclusivity away from Not So Scary, but
yeah,
I wouldn't complain.
Snow White and all seven dwarves at the same time. I mean, that's a can't-miss photo, which you've got. No, I never
You know,
have.
I wish that for every Not So Scary and every Very Merry, they broke out a new, like,
exclusive character,
like super character, like something that's like super tough.
But the problem with that, which we've just experienced with Villains Unleashed, is that if you break out that new super character, well, now that new super character has a 5-hour line, and it's a 5-hour event.
But in a way, that's okay. If you're going to do one, like they did Jack and Sally when we went last year. It was all right.
Well, see, I feel like this is now the time where it, like, with these hard ticket events, that's where we need to start implementing the Standby Plus thing.
Right.
Like, Constantine. There's a 3-hour wait for Constantine in a 5-hour event. All right, here's your fast pass to come back. Go experience the rest of the event so you're not wasting your money and, like, come back.
Well, the problem with Villains Unleashed was they had a bunch of them. There's the problem.
A bunch of, like...
Like, villains that you're not normally going to get the picture of, so you can't do it all. But, like, at Not So Scary last year, they had a bunch of characters. You know, they did the villain show. They all come down.
Yep.
But Jack and Sally were, like, the ones that were like, whoa, this is only here.
It's a three-hour wait.
No, it was a three-hour wait. I had the luxury of having a wife who was like, I will wait on this. You go take the kids and have fun while we go. We went and played Sorcerer's Magic Kingdom, which at nighttime is awesome. But, you know, I think if they did that for every party, man, I'd be really drawn to it.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So,
you can make the case. Month of October, you have Jack and Sally out all the time.
I mean, I would love that, but I don't, on a marketing standpoint, I don't think it would make a lot of sense.
Right.
Because it's one of the draws to Not So Scary.
Right, absolutely.
Is there a restaurant that you feel exemplifies the fall?
Wow.
I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Liberty Tree.
Yeah. Because
you get that Thanksgiving-esque dinner.
Yeah.
And I would say Garden Grill, because, you know, harvesting and, you know.
Now, do all the restaurants do... I've never actually been on Thanksgiving. Do all the restaurants do a Thanksgiving dinner?
I have no idea.
I'm almost positive they do.
I've never even looked into it, because I never will be there on Thanksgiving. But, yeah, I have no idea.
Because I know, like, I booked a meal this time for Shudders, the wonderful sit-down restaurant over in Caribbean Beach.
Love Shudders.
I'm going to be getting there, I assume, around 5. So I booked a... I wasn't sure. Now, I booked this reservation, you know, a little unsure, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do it. I booked a meal for Shudders at 6.
Okay.
I don't want to do anything really that first day. I don't have too much planned. I mean, we're getting there late. And when I booked it on the ADR, it actually says, in parentheses, Thanksgiving dinner next to my reservation. So I'm assuming they are going to have, like, a turkey platter. Now, will I have that? I don't know, because I'm going to bang out some turkey before I go.
Two Thanksgiving dinners? You
I know, why not? I know. I feel like, why not? I really should do
that. Why not have a second Thanksgiving dinner?
Disney style.
You have to do this. You have to, because when are you ever going to be able to experience that again?
I'm going
to
get to Disney. Like, I didn't have Thanksgiving at home with my family, and I'm going to have another Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to wipe the first one from my mind, and I'm going to do that.
I wonder if they do, like, a special parade. I doubt it.
Like a Thanksgiving parade?
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't know, with turkeys?
I don't know.
I do like watching Thanksgiving parade, though, in the morning. Not as good as the Disney Christmas parade. But
no, but there is always Disney stuff in the Macy's parade. Let me give you my Thanksgiving Day tradition.
Okay.
All right, wake up. I have prepared my stuffing the night before, because that's my big contribution to Thanksgiving, is always stuffing.
Dude, that's a big one. Stuffing's the most important thing.
Yeah, especially because, well, not in my house, because I'm the only one that eats it. So
what?
Yeah, my wife and her family, they don't go for it.
What?
Yeah, they don't like it.
Are they American citizens?
Yes.
Wow, stuffing is... In my house, there's not enough stuffing at any point in time. When my father-in-law shows up, you don't know if he's going to eat the entire thing of stuffing. I don't know.
You know, I kind of have to eat the whole thing of stuffing, otherwise it goes bad.
Dude, don't make it sound like that's a bad thing. That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
That sounds great.
It is, like, pretty awesome.
Like, you don't
but
have
I always,
to go...
But I always make enough. Like, I use, like, 4 loaves of bread. And I'm like, I'm the only one that's going to eat this. I'm not eating 4 loaves of bread.
I mean, so you guys are all sitting down at the table.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, where's that stuffing at? Like, as people are grabbing things, you want to be polite, because I have extended family here. I'm like, hey, where's that stuffing at? Because I know at any moment, I'm going to get the stuffing back to this end of the table.
Right.
And there's not going to be hardly any in there.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day, my wife won't even let me stuff the turkey with the stuffing.
What?
No, it just cooks on its own.
Oh, so you're not even getting the really great stuff.
Yeah, so it's really not stuffing as much as it's just kind of like a bread casserole.
Oh, heaven. You need to fix that this year.
Oh, I try, man. I try.
You need to stuff that bird. Put mouse ears on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just pulling up our Facebook discussion page because, you know, it's time to give the thoughts of our friends around the world. And Mikey Wisenhunt, who is one of our great friends from around the world, who is in Disney right now, I guess is going to a Halloween party tonight. I don't think it's Not So Scary, but I'm not sure. And he's dressed as the kid from Up.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. That's
a great costume.
That's a great costume. So ready to hear what our friends around the world have to say about the fall?
Yeah.
Okay. Paul Towernicki. Chiming in. Less crowds, slightly cooler weather. It's hard to hear about everyone's vacation, either at Walt Disney World or vacations in general, as they go on them during the summer, knowing that you're not going on one yet. But it's fun when you do go on your vacation in the fall, when most people around you have already been on one, and they're jealous that you're going on yours. So, rub it in people's faces, I guess.
Okay.
Christina McSheffrey says, cooler temperatures, smaller crowds. The fall Halloween decor around the parks and Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party are great. She says, and for me particularly, it's a reminder of when we got engaged. It was in early November at the Magic Kingdom. She said she had a little typo there.
Oh,
I could have corrected it, but I wanted to draw attention to the typo. Yep, the Magic Kingdom during wishes and on my birthday. So that's a pretty special. Like,
yeah.
I had heard this story. She said it was actually like he popped the question, like as it was like, look, folks, it's the Blue Fairy. And boom, during wishes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Kayla Battiello says Main Street and Not So Scary, and she posted a picture of one of the lamp decoration Mickey heads. Kate Smith says cooler temperatures, food and wine, fall-flavored treats, Halloween decor, and lower crowds. Adam Blistein says food and wine, Mickey's Not So Scary, cooler temps, and it's my favorite time to go. Rosanna Manzer says weather's perfect, less crowds, and love the Halloween decor, not to mention free dining promotion. It's a nice perk. Tim Elbing Jr. says Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, food and wine, less crowds, and a bit cooler. Chris Rebelski says he's never been for the fall, but he looks forward to hearing stories about it. Susie Scott says great topic. I'm going to Epcot November 9th and four other non-Disney parks, hoping for lighter crowds, except at Universal, cooler days, and some holiday stuff. Tiffany Walsh says I'll be going in October for my first time in the fall season. My first time was this past April. I will never go again in April. Just our luck, we're going for the same few days in October that free dining is blacked out, because that's how these things always work out. We're doing Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, but when we tried to get tickets to the Villains VIP event, they were sold out.
Wow.
I'm taking that as a sign that I have better use for my $99.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that was sold out.
I hadn't either, but yeah. It does not surprise me.
Dave Weicker just says food and wine. He loves that food and wine. Yep. Gigi Pistone says Not So Scary and all the fall decorations. It doesn't hurt that it's my birthday at that time, too, so I get a birthday button to wear, plus food and wine is great.
I secretly want to wear a birthday button in the worst way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be so fun.
I would, but I'm never going for my birthday.
I'm never going for my birthday either. It's in July.
How would they know?
No.
It's my birthday.
Kevin, I am not doing that.
No, you're not going to lie?
Never. On top of the fact, there I am with my children. They're like, Dad, what are you talking about? It's not your birthday. And I'm like, oh, it's like my half birthday.
Yeah.
No, it's never happening.
Okay. No. Paul Cole says, it's cooler than the summer and a lot less people in the parks. We went in the fall and it was empty. Also food and wine. Cliff Barnes says free dining. Disney RN, a.k.a. Amanda, says, I went last September, love the fall decor, lighter crowds, and the adults get to wear costumes to Not So Scary. And Justin Huffman, last but not least, says, hands down, food and wine. Went in 2011 for it, and we made it a goal to fill our food and wine passports. Can't wait to go back.
That's a good time.
Yeah. Oh, I never told you my Thanksgiving thing. We got derailed about the stuffing. I just realized. So, I make the stuffing the night before. I wake up, I watch the parade, and the second Santa Claus shows up, Muppet Family Christmas.
Oh, awesome.
Yep. You know which one I'm talking about. Yeah. Watch out for the icy patch. Whoop. Hey, Mrs. Bear. I was chasing the truck the whole way and whoa.
Oh, that's a good time.
I love it.
I love that.
I have a VHS copy. And literally last year, I was looking for it the night before and I realized it was still in the VCR from last year. Because I never used the VCR.
Literally. Who uses a VCR?
I never did. And for a whole year, it sat in my VCR.
Well, that's great.
Oh, the day that tape breaks is going to be a horrible day for me.
I will say. And then
after Muppet Family Christmas, it's all Christmas movies for the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we'll pop in the original Miracle on 34th and, It's a Wonderful Life.
Never seen it.
Okay.
I've seen bits, but I've never sat down and watched it.
But then also.
Best Christmas movie ever, of course, being.
Muppet Christmas Carol?
No, Die Hard.
Oh, yes, of course.
Right.
One thing I love Disney-wise in Christmas, they put out a couple years ago, they put out this, like, forget what it's called.
But it's holidays?
Like it's like a series of shorts.
Okay.
And it was like Disney Afternoon shorts almost, because you had a DuckTales one.
Okay.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie wish that it's Christmas every day. And that's obviously Donald is there, and Scrooge McDuck is there, and Daisy is there. And they bring this, like, big, like, buff Aunt Gertie in there, too, that, like, kisses them a lot, and it's all gross.
Okay.
You never saw this?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. I gotta find... They did two of them.
So the classic holiday stories, that one?
Maybe. I don't know. So that's the Donald one.
Okay.
Then there's a Goofy one where it's Goofy and Max living next door to Pete. So it's like Goof Troop.
Huh.
Where Goofy is trying to prove to Max that Santa Claus exists.
I feel like maybe I've seen them, but I just don't remember.
Yep. And then there's a Mickey and Minnie. They do the Gift of the Magi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the Beauty and the Beast Christmas?
You know, I've never seen it.
What?
Never saw Beauty and the Beast Christmas.
Wow, that was actually, I believe, the first Disney DVD ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. We're talking about Christmas and it's fall.
We both love Christmas.
We really
do.
We're jumping the gun here.
There are plenty of people who... who are like, oh, Christmas stuff already? I gotta be honest with you, I can start Christmas stuff now.
You know what? I felt like I was always one of those people out of, like, necessity, because that's what everyone's expected to be. This year, I'm like, I'm in. Merry Christmas. It's September 1st.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's pretty cool.
Like, I'm gonna go down to the Disney store tomorrow, like, while I'm at work, And if they don't have their Christmas stuff up, I'm going to be like, what's going on, guys? In August, I was like, why don't you have your ornaments out yet? Because Hallmark has theirs.
I know they have them online. Have you seen them yet?
No, I won't look until they're actually there.
I went and took a peek at them.
Is there a Rescue Rangers one?
I don't remember.
That's what I'm dying for. But yeah, they have they do a Muppet ornament every year.
Gonzo?
It's Gonzo this year. Gonzo in the canon. I missed the year that it was Kermit.
Oh.
Because here's what happened. You ready for this heartbreaker? I was like, I'm going to go buy this Christmas tree ornament. And my, I remember it was either my wife or my mother were like, no, don't. I'll get it for you. Christmas Day comes.
No.
No Kermit ornament.
No.
And I was like, I think it was my parents said they were going to get it for me. And I was like, what? And they're like, oh, I forgot about that. And so the next day, I rush out to the Hallmark store on December 26th. Like, do you have the Kermit ornament? Nope.
Oh.
I missed Kermit, and I missed the beaker one where the mouth moved, too, for the same thing happened. One year it was my wife, one year it was my mother. Now I
hope neither are listening, because you were just shoveling the dirt on them. That is not good.
I buy them myself now. I bought Fozzie for myself last year. So, this year I'll be getting Gonzo.
Have you ever seen that Magic of Christmas DVD, Disney World DVD?
No.
I should let you borrow it.
You should.
Although it gets a lot of heavy play here at the shop.
Mm-hmm. What about the Star Wars Christmas special?
No.
You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
All Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Folks, we here at WDPN love Disney, and that should come as no surprise to anyone. But we never lose sight of the fact that the entire Disney universe sprung forth from the mind of one man. Walter Elias Disney and his tireless quest to create magic has inspired all of us for decades upon decades. But there's so much we can learn from a man like Walt Disney, who so embodies the ideas of chasing your dreams and daring to believe. And perhaps Walt's greatest accomplishment and journey was the creation of his ultimate dream, Disneyland. But how can you apply the shining examples this man set on his way to creating a landmark that has stood for six decades to your own life? You can find out in The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, a new book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes. Jeff examines the incredible journey Walt undertook to create Disneyland and the lessons he garnered from years of hard work and American ingenuity. He encapsulates it perfectly and then shows you how to apply this to your own daily life. Furthermore, he examines what the park means to the Disney universe, the United States, and the entire world, showcasing what can happen when a dream truly becomes immortal and outlives the man who created it. What better way to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Disneyland than by reliving the adventurous, real-life endeavor of a man who dared to dream the impossible and brought so much joy into our lives as a result, and then apply his journey to your own life in the end? To pick up your autographed copy of The Wisdom of Walt, visit thewisdomofwalt.com or download the ebook copy from the Amazon Kindle store and start applying The Wisdom of Walt to your life today. Hey guys, welcome back to Best of Two Men and the Mouse. Kev here, still bringing you all the golden oldies of Two Men and the Mouse, if you will. So we just heard all about Autumn in Walt Disney World, and you know, obviously one of my favorite times to be here. It's the time that before I lived here, I usually came here. So you know, it was always really, really fun to talk about. But now let's talk a little bit about Halloween specifically. So last year on episode number 37, we did one of our famous Disney in-depth segments in which we pick a specific resort or attraction or just aspect of Walt Disney World and really dive in depth in the story and magic behind it. So in keeping with what time of year it is, I am bringing back one of probably my all-time favorite Disney in-depth. Because it is my all-time favorite Disney attraction. So we're going back in time now to episode 37, The Haunted Mansion in Depth.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Two Men and the Mouse Halloween ticket attraction.
Get it, the E?
I got it.
All right. Yes, that's right. Pete and I are saying boo to you all as we present some happy Halloween haunts for you all to enjoy. Whether it's going to be a trick or a treat is entirely dependent on how the next 30 minutes go. Or so. Right?
I get it.
Yeah. Since Two Men and the Mouse first started, Disney In Depth, our popular recurring segment in which we dive deep in depth about a beloved attraction, resort, or experience, was always going to be a major part of the show. Since then, we've been chomping at the bit for one particular DID, and that has tested the fullest extent of our collective resolve to hold off until Halloween to bring it to you. Yes, folks, this week's Scream Ticket attraction...
Yeah, I got that one.
Features 999 happy haunts, but there's always room for one more. This week, we're watching the moon climb high on the dead oak tree. We're hearing the crypt doors creak and the tombstones shake. Happy haunts will materialize this week as we present Disney In Depth on
The Haunted Mansion.
Is that ominous enough?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
Did you practice that, be honest?
A little bit.
I like it.
Yeah, that's what happens when you spend a lot of time on it.
We have thought about doing this many times.
Yes, but, you know, I was always like, we got to hold off to Halloween. It's perfect. Halloween ticket attraction. The Haunted Mansion, arguably my favorite attraction
in Walt
Disney
that.
World. I mean, the perfect Disney attraction. It feels almost a shame to do this and not have to look forward to it anymore. Like, to this segment.
Right. We could do a part two.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess let's start at the beginning with the Haunted Mansion, the history of the Haunted Mansion. I have actually printed out a little article to read about it. The Haunted Mansion attraction predates Disneyland to when Walt Disney first hired the first of his Imagineers. The first known illustration of the park showed a Main Street setting, green fields, Western Village, and a carnival. Disney legend Harper Goff developed a black and white sketch of a crooked street leading away from Main Street by a peaceful church and graveyard with a rundown manor perched high on a hill that towered over Main Street. So Disney assigns Imagineer Ken Anderson to make a story about Goff's idea. Plans are made to build a New Orleans-themed land in the small transition area between Frontierland and Adventureland. So weeks later, New Orleans Square appears on the souvenir map and promised a thieves market, a pirate wax museum, and a haunted house walkthrough. Haunted Mansion. Anderson studies New Orleans and old plantations come up with a drawing of an antebellum manor overgrown with weeds, dead trees, swarms of bats, and boarded doors and windows topped by a screeching cat as a weather vane. Walt, however, was like, nope, you're not going to have a rundown building in my park. Which makes sense.
Of course.
Yeah. He goes to visit the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California, and he becomes captivated by the massive mansion with its stairs leading to nowhere, doors that open to walls and holes, and elevators. Anderson comes up with the stories for the mansion, including tales of a ghostly sea captain who killed his nosy bride and then hanged himself, a mansion home to an unfortunate family, a ghostly wedding party with well-known Disney villains and spooks. Imagineers Raleigh Crump and Gail Gracie recreated Ken Anderson's stories in a studio at WED Enterprises. WED, of course, being the original Walt Disney Imagineering before it was called Imagineering. It was WED.
I know.
W-E-D. I know. In 1961, handbills announcing a 1963 opening of the Haunted Mansion were given out of Disneyland's main entrance. Construction begins a year later, and the exterior was completed in 1963. The attraction was previewed at a 1965 episode of Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, but the attraction itself doesn't open until 1969. The six-year delay owed heavily to Disney's involvement in the New York World's Fair in 1964 to 65, and to an attraction redesign after Walt's death in 1966. The mansion opened to all guests October 12th, 1969. So that's the Disneyland version.
Correct.
Yes. So, did you do the Disneyland version?
Of course.
How was it?
You know, I mean, not as far as difference in rides between the parks, it's not tremendously different. I guess the most famous difference, of course, is that the stretching room really is an elevator in
yes.
Disneyland. In Disney World, it's just faux.
It's just the ceiling is actually raising up.
But yeah, of course, how could I not do it? I do like how the outside is so, you know, drastically different than the Disney World.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a different setting. I mean, and so the thing about the Haunted Mansion, I think that's I think it's the only attraction that is in every Disney theme park around the world.
Yeah.
So it opened in Magic Kingdom in 1971, Tokyo Disneyland 1983, Disneyland Paris as Phantom Manor in 1992, and at Hong Kong Disneyland as Mystic Manor in 2013. So Phantom Manor is the reimagined version of the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
The Mystic Manor is a different kind of attraction inspired by the Haunted Mansion, opened in Hong Kong Disneyland again in 2013. The exterior is that of a large Victorian mansion in an elaborate Queen Anne architectural style, whereas Phantom Manor is Western Victorian. So, but now we love the Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World,
right?
And that is pure American Revolution. Dawn of a New Nation, Haunted Mansion.
Let me just say, too, I think it's a really super unique ride in the sense that it is clearly cut into two halves.
Yes.
And Mark, I don't know if you know this, but Mark Davis is hands down my most favorite Imagineer of all time.
Uh-huh.
I like almost anything he did.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And his half of Haunted Mansion, I just think...
Which half is his?
He did all like the Hitchhiking Ghosts.
Oh, cool.
I just think...
So the latter half.
I mean, that stuff screams Mark Davis, and I just think...
Ballroom, too?
You know, I don't know if he did the ballroom. I would assume...
Well, we'll get into
it. It kind of like sounds like, you know... I know he did like all the Haunted, the Ghosts and all that. The artwork for it is so fantastic. It just... I don't know. I love everything about it.
Yeah, so now...
Super iconic.
To create the Walt Disney World one, which is going to come out in 1971, opening day attraction in the Magic Kingdom, they made duplicates, actually, of each character from the original Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
So as they're making the original one, they're like, okay, well, we got this Disney World coming out, so make a duplicate, ship it off to Florida. So all of it arrives in Walt Disney World, in Orlando, the unopened Walt Disney World, in April of 1971, which is a full 6 months before the park opens.
Right.
And now they're like, well, we have all this New Orleans-themed stuff. We have to retool it to fit Liberty Square. So they wanted to make the Walt Disney World attraction longer and more elaborate than its Disneyland counterpart, than the original. What did you say it is? It's longer,
yeah,
more elaborate.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about what they did. All right, so it's themed to Liberty Square, but it also kind of sits apart from the rest of Liberty Square.
Yeah, in a super creepy way.
Yeah. And like the thing I like the most is like as you go up in the queue, if you get like a certain point up the hill, you look back, Liberty Square's gone.
Right.
You can't see it anymore because it was meant to just immerse you in this haunted world, which is it's so cool. But before we even get there, let's look at the manor itself. Okay, so the manor itself is deliberately created using just going through my notes here. So it's called Gracie Manor.
Right.
Named after Yale Gracie, Imagineer and special effects guru at WED. The mansion is designed using something called perpendicular style. You know what that is, Pete?
No.
Okay, perpendicular style means it's created with strong vertical lines. The mansion was designed to tower over you, to be more like, so it looks taller than it is. It looks like it you know, it towers over you to create that more of like a scary presence. Now, so to make it a little even more scary, the on the weather vane is a bat.
Right.
Their coffin shapes near the front doors. And have you ever looked closely and noticed that the flower planters in front of the mansion are actually cremation urns?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I love that. Also, the mansion is complete with a black wreath on the door, which actually I think a lot of people are just like, oh, it's just an old wreath. It's actually not.
Right.
The black wreath signifies, back in the time of like Liberty Square, you hang a black wreath on the door to signify that there's sickness or death inside this house and enter at your own risk. Which is just so cool. Such cool theming.
Super creepy.
Yeah. I would argue that the queue is almost as cool as the mansion itself, like the ride itself.
I won't go that far.
I love it. I would never fast pass, for instance.
And now, are you talking like the new stuff they added?
Everything.
I think the new stuff is fun. I know people are going to balk when I say this, but I could almost make the case I liked it before.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it needed a lot.
I didn't think it needed the new stuff. Don't get me wrong. I like the new stuff, and I have fun with it, and it's kind of
playing
cool.
The instruments.
Yeah, and it's fun. But, like, before, when you're kind of waiting on that line, like, you don't, you know, I mean, of course, we know what we're going to get, but you don't know what's
right
beyond those doors.
Right.
Now, this is, like, a fun, like, entertaining kids kind of section.
Right.
And you know,
it
I
was scary before. Like, it was really
scary. It was
scary.
A little scary before. I like that.
Like, I think it so perfectly sets it up as you walk up toward the mansion, and you can hear that animal howling. The dog howling.
Yeah, the
you
dog.
Don't, you don't know.
The,
yeah, like you don't know where cemetery. It's come from. But so the queue. First thing you see, the stable right there off to your left.
Yep.
It's a clapboard carriage house. Horseshoes are hung. I mentioned this on the show before. They're hung upside down, so that you know that all the luck has run out. This area was formerly home to two Fastpass kiosks and was the loading area for the Mike Fink keel boats back in the day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it was where they used to get on the keel boats over there. Outside the carriage house is a large collection of cobblestones that most people overlook. You ever overlook that?
I always do.
Yeah. Those cobblestones actually are marking where there once stood a stone well with a little roof on it that was removed.
Hmm.
Yeah. I like when they do that, when they take something out, but they leave something to remember it by.
Right, yeah.
They actually, in fantasy, I know in the old Fantasyland, I don't know if it's still there, but they used to actually have like a cobblestone circle where the poles were for the Skyway.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't know if they still have it or
not. You ever
go
on the Skyway?
No, I never did.
Really? No.
Yeah. I know you did.
I did. It did seem so out of place.
Yeah, it really did. A horseless hearse stands outside. Dead roses adorn the interior. This is actually, Peter Mandel, an authentic hearse built during the Civil War and used in the 1965 John Wayne film Sons of Katie Elder.
I will say that hearse, the ghost hearse, is, to me, what I think the dawn of PhotoPass came from.
Yeah, because that was where you got the hitchhiking ghost photos.
Before any of that, before PhotoPass or any of that stuff, they did a thing where they had a photographer set up there, took your picture, you would go and buy the picture, and
right,
there was a ghost driving the hearse. And
yep,
I was like, I have to do this.
Of course.
I will wait on whatever line this is. And I still have that picture, of course.
Yeah, and then the concept of the hearse was actually from an original Mark Davis concept art for the Haunted Mansion,
right,
that showed ghosts arriving. You've seen that picture.
Yep.
Ghosts arriving to a party in a hearse. I just think it's so cool that it's an authentic Civil War era hearse,
yeah,
that they
awesome
got. I mean, like, you're looking at a piece of history when you look at
now
it.
Now, in Disneyland, they have the white one.
Yes.
Not as cool to me.
No. The black one's more foreboding. I think it fits,
yeah,
in more with the with the theme. I think it's really neat, though, also, that, like, right around the hearse, you have the horse prints and the tracks.
Oh, yeah.
So you know this thing's moving, but the ghost horse is moving around, and it's leaving tracks in the ground, and that makes it even creepier.
Oh, it's so cool.
We haven't even gotten to the queue yet. Like, if you realize, like, we're geeking out about all this stuff, we're not even in line yet.
I know.
It's so cool. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you are already in line out there if the line's long enough, but, like, if you're going at, like, not so scary. If you're also, one little tip that I saw that I never noticed before that I read in, like, I was doing research for this. They said if you're online at night, look at the windows of the Haunted Mansion. You could sometimes see a ghostly figure moving through the windows holding a candle.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah,
like,
super
just
neat.
Things that we never see. I think the biggest takeaway from the queue, though, is the tombstones.
Yeah, they're so much fun.
Oh, aren't they? What's your favorite one?
I like the blinking eyes.
Yeah. There's one, folks, yeah, that, like, it will, like, it just looks like a face with its eyes closed, but every once in a while will open its eyes, take a little look around, and then close its eyes again.
I love too when they put the rose on like Master Gracie's tomb.
Yeah, my friend Kayla actually does that every single time. Like that's not they don't do that. The cast members don't do that.
Someone
like guests do it.
Love it.
My friend Kayla does it every time she goes. She's a Haunted Mansion fanatic. She will, and she actually, I was going to share that information later. She wrote it on the Facebook group. She will always lay a rose on Master Gracie's grave.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've been there a couple times when I see that, and I always take pictures. It looks so cool.
So I want to go through the tombstones because they're just too funny, and like you know, go through who they're about. All right, so here rests Waffle R. Bender. He rode to glory on a fender. That was for Waffle Rogers, who worked as an animator on many Disney classic films like Pinocchio, Bambi, Alice in Wonderland, and Sleeping Beauty. Here lies good old Fred. A great big rock fell on his head.
Classic.
Fred Jorger, set designer and model builder, best known for the rock formations he created from plaster. Rest in peace, Cousin Hewitt. We all know you didn't do it. It was made for Cliff Hewitt. Lead interior designer for the Haunted Mansion and an architect for WED. Requiescat, Francis Xavier. No time off for good behavior. Francis Xavier joined Disney in 1938 and worked on many of Walt's animated features before transferring over to WED in 1964 to help with such famous attractions as Pirates of the Caribbean, Adventure Through Inner Space, and the Haunted Mansion. He also co-wrote Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Well, that's X Atencio. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's like famous,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he, by the way, not a songwriter, right? Didn't Walt like be like, you're going to co-write this?
Yeah, you're going to co-write this song.
And he was just like, I don't write songs. And he's like, you can do it. And he did.
Dear Sweet Leota, beloved by all, in regions beyond now, but having a ball, was obviously Leota Toombs. Who is very well represented in the Haunted Mansion.
Maybe the most famous of its...
Yeah. Leota Toombs, folks, it's actually the newest tombstone in the Mansion Cemetery. The stone moves up and down, and that's the one that's face opens its eyes to look around.
Very cool.
Madame Leota, obviously, the fortune teller, is named after Leota Toombs. It's her face. Leota Toombs was a WED artist, and her head was used to test the mansion's seance room crystal ball, and the Imagineers liked it so much they kept it for the final version. The tombstone and the character in the seance room are both named in her honor. Also, Little Leota, at the end, who reminds us to hurry back, is her voice.
Right.
Okay, dear... this one might be my favorite. Dear departed brother Dave, he chased a bear into a cave. Made for Dave Burkhart, a model maker with Disney. He worked on the mansion and then as a field art producer and show designer on the Swiss Family Treehouse and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Here lies a man named Martin. The lights went out on this old Spartan. It was for Bill Martin, who was named Vice President of Design at WED in 1971. good friend Gordon, now you've crossed the River Jordan, was for Gordon Williams, who was the authority on audio animatronics and an accomplished audio designer. He was behind almost all the sound effects in the Haunted Mansion. I love these. Immemorial, Uncle My All, here you'll lie for quite a while. I guess I said that wrong. For Chuck My All, one of the master planners of Disney World, as well as an art designer and project designer for WED. Rest in peace, Master Sewell, the victim of a dirty duel. Bob Sewell joined WED after Disneyland opened in 1955. Sewell was in charge of show installations at the park and was head of the model shop at WED for most of his years at Disney. And then your buddy.
Love him.
In memory of our patriarch, dear departed Grandpa Mark, for Mark Davis. That one might be my favorite one.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Mark Davis, obviously one of Disney's legendary nine old men. One of the most creative forces in theme park design history. Concept art is also well known to many Disney fans. The origin of many audio animatronic scenes found in both the Haunted Mansion and the Pirates of the Caribbean. And then rounding him out here, at peaceful rest lies Brother Claude, planted here beneath this sod. Was for Claude Coates, who was a background artist for Walt's animated films, and he's a show designer. He helped bring Disneyland and Walt Disney World to life. And then the last one, of course, the most famous one, Master Gracie, laid to rest. No mourning, please, at his request. That was for Yale Gracie, who spent a year in a warehouse together with Raleigh Crump doing nothing but coming up with special effects and gags for the Haunted Mansion.
So cool.
So
timeless.
Cool. Yep, absolutely. I mean, and I love that stuff. Like the windows in Main Street, the tombstones in the Haunted Mansion. What would you say your favorite was? The Leota Toombs that opened
his
eyes?
Yeah, I think it's so appropriate.
It's really neat. And like as a kid, that would scare the pants off me.
Yeah, me too.
Have your kids ever gotten scared in the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. you go through an age with children, because you can take them on as infants, like I would, and then you go right. through an age where they don't want to go on. I can remember Ethan being like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And I'm like, you don't have to do it. I don't make my kids do anything they don't want to do on vacation. So I'm like, you don't have to. And then he got to that age, man, I almost remember exactly when it was. I want to say it was 2011. So I guess he was six. Where I had Abby with me, who was three at the time.
Right. And she was not like, going on that.
He was like, you know, Mommy, can you take me on Haunted Mansion? I want to do that. We were there at night. Actually, it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night. And he's like, I really want to go on Haunted Mansion. So we split up and he went on that. Listen, I won't try and pretend to tell you that my six-year-old daughter loves Haunted Mansion. She doesn't. But I have her convinced that I need, like, a ride buddy. So, I mean, if you were to ask her right now, like, you know, what ride do you need a ride buddy? She would tell you Haunted Mansion.
Right.
So she's my ride buddy on Haunted Mansion.
So she does go on it.
She does go
on
it.
She watched the Hitchhiking Ghost take your head off and pop it like a balloon.
Yeah, she actually really likes that part.
Oh, okay.
She thinks that's really cool. She likes the ghost, the Hitchhiking Ghost at the end. She
everybody
thinks
likes
fun.
The Hitchhiking Ghost. Yeah. Well, everyone except for my youngest brother.
Yeah.
Right. When he was 8 years old, the Hitchhiking Ghost appeared in our Doom buggy, and he freaked out. Oh, my goodness.
I can remember the first time I ever rode it with Heather, and I was, I guess I was 22, and, you know, we turned that corner, and I think the ride's over, and I'm not really paying attention. I look up in that mirror, and like, oh, my gosh, like, there's like a ghost in our thing, and my like heart jumped for a second. I loved it.
Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Such a good time.
Yeah, that what would you say the Hitchhiking Ghosts are like the main event of the ride? Like, is that like your big
yes,
takeaway from the ride?
Absolutely. But okay. They're my
yeah.
thing. I really,
yeah.
really love them.
Phineas, Gus, and Ezra, I absolutely
love them.
But let's talk about the characters that you encounter in the Haunted Mansion, because there are many. So the Hitchhiking Ghosts are just three of them. You also got Madame Leota and Little Leota, as we said. Constance, the Ghost Bride.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I love her. I love the reimagined version of her, like how like the projection like fades in and out on the dress, and I love what she, like the axe appears in her hand,
right?
In sickness and in wealth, I love that. And I love how they kind of like have just ingrained her into like the story. But you know, Haunted Mansion, no real overarching story to it. It's just kind of like a collection of silly ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, you get, I mean, you know, some proposed story as far as like, you
there's
know,
a lot of proposed
falling out the window
of the attic. Yeah,
yeah, you know,
becoming a
I
ghost.
Think that stuff's kind of yeah. cool. Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of like the origin of the Joker in the comics. I hope they
right.
don't really ever pin down.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I don't want to ever know a definitive story. I don't want to know who Master Gracie was and yada, yada,
right.
yada. You go into so the ghost host, obviously the big takeaway character from this.
Right.
The ghost host voiced by the legendary Paul Frees. He technically was Mr. Frees. Literally.
He's done a lot of voices, too, in Disney World.
Yeah, the ghost host is one of the greatest characters in the history of Walt Disney World. And
yes,
oddly enough,
cool.
didn't make it into our list of top 10 park-specific characters because we forgot about him. But he is, like, you know, he takes you through the entire beginning of the attraction. But then once, you know, the crypt doors creak and the tombstones shake, he's gone.
Right.
Until the end. And honestly, like, you miss him when he's gone, I feel like.
I don't know. So much going on.
I just love when he comes back at the end.
Right.
Like, it's like, hey, here's this guy again. Ghost host. Stretching room. Another area where my brother freaked out.
Yeah, stretching room's really cool.
And now, taking your kids on Haunted Mansion for the first time, you had to be worried about the stretching room.
I worry about it now, and there's been many times.
Yeah, I mean, the stretching room is borderline uncomfortable. Like, not only are you packed in there with other people, which, you know, I abhor, but the scenes that it's depicting are very disturbing.
Yeah. You know, I can tell you there have been times where, you know, thank God for cell phones, because when my daughter was little and I was like holding her, I would distract her with like, oh my gosh, look at this picture I took of Mommy on my cell
phone.
Hey,
don't
like,
look over there. Look over here.
Right. You know, like, oh, there's a picture of you with mouse ears.
Don't look at
know.
The girl in the tightrope over the crocodile.
Right. Or more the image of the, you know, guy hanging above you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, at the same time, it's part of the scariness of it.
It is. And I like that there's actual scary stuff in it. It's
yeah.
not just, you know, like, hey, happy haunts and silly spooks and, you know, that kind of stuff. But in the stretching room, as you pointed out earlier, in Disneyland, the stretching room is actually an elevator that takes you down.
Yes.
In Walt Disney World, it's actually the ceiling that extends.
Right, right.
So many awesome special effects in the Haunted Mansion. I mean, and they've only gotten better as time goes on. The singing bus.
Let me tell you, too, one of my favorite things that goes overlooked. I mean, not really now, especially with this influx of merchandise right. right now. But I have always loved the Haunted Mansion wallpaper.
Yes.
I mean, it's so cool. I mean, I've actually, it's so funny.
There's lots of merch in Maury's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, we could do a whole thing on
yeah.
I mean, I bought so many great Haunted Mansion pieces over the years.
Uh-huh.
Actually, Disney Classics did a Hitchhiking Ghost set, which was a theme park exclusive at one point. And I actually have a set signed by Mark Davis.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is just, you know, is one of my favorite things that I own. As well as the Hitchhiking Ghost Big Figs, which are, I'm going to say, 3 feet tall and fantastic, and they light up. And I had Disney World send them home, which they did, in giant nice. Refrigerator-sized boxes. But yeah, the Haunted Mansion merch has always... You know, I guess there are people who would say that there's really never been enough of it.
Right.
But I think now, right now, with this Haunted Mansion collection they're doing, you're going to see a lot of Haunted Mansion stuff.
Oh, totally. I mean, the fact that they made an entire gift shop specifically designed for it now is, I mean, it's long overdue.
Yeah, but you know, it is
long overdue. Oh, didn't they try it at one point, and it didn't work?
No, I mean, they had the cart.
Yeah.
But never anything...
It's like Madame Leota's, like, yeah, cart.
Never anything fully dedicated to Haunted Mansion, which really did surprise me. I mean,
yeah.
It always seems to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say it's one of the most marketable attractions in all of Walt Disney World.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a whole own cast of characters that have nothing to do with a movie or a TV show or anything like that. It's really unique.
Well,
in that aspect.
There was a fantastic movie.
Well, okay, let's not...
We can't do an in-depth.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. All right, we'll just talk about it now.
Are you looking at me like, we'll get to it, but we're not going to get to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was kind of what I was planning, but...
Come on, you hated that movie, right?
I mean, I didn't actually get through it. Like,
really? I saw it in the theater.
I started it like on Netflix, and I was like, I can't watch this.
I don't hate it. I know it's bad. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I did hear they're making another one, though.
Really? It's not a sequel, though.
No, I heard they're going to try to reboot it, because, yeah. I mean, it's too good of a property to not yeah. have a movie franchise around it. I mean, like, you need a Captain Jack Sparrow-like character, like an iconic Disney character.
That movie, though,
to carry
brought
the movie.
Us that fantastic Bare Naked Ladies, Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Yeah, it did.
So, I mean, come on. Be thankful for that.
I do love anything Grim Grinning Ghosts. There's so many covers of Grim Grinning Ghosts out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, I love it. It's got to be my favorite Disney song. So, going through the... So, you said the Hitchhiking Ghosts are it for you. I actually am going to see your Hitchhiking Ghosts and raise you the ballroom scene.
Yeah, pretty great.
I love the ballroom scene.
What's your favorite scene in the ballroom scene, if you will?
I mean, I just love when they're dancing.
Oh, I really like the gunfighters.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think it's so
well,
cool.
I love the dancing ghosts because I know how it works.
Right, yeah, of course.
Yeah, folks, it's an old magician's trick from 1962 called Pepper's Ghost.
Skip forward here if you don't want to know this.
Yeah, if you don't want to know this, hit the button, hit the 15-second button, because it's not going to take very long. The ghosts are actually, they're not holograms, they're not CGI, they're nothing like that. They're actually reflections of animatronic figures that are underneath the ride track. And they are you're seeing a reflection of them through mirrors. It's an old magician's trick where they would make ghosts appear on the stage. It's actually so simple.
Right.
But the funny thing is, in the ballroom scene, the Imagineers didn't remember that everything would be mirror image. Everything would be switched. So the women are leading the men
yep,
in the dance, which I think is really funny. Really cool. It's just how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How ghosts do it.
Yeah, exactly. The ballroom scene is the first time you actually see ghosts on the attraction, I believe.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you don't actually see the ghosts until Madame Leota conjures the ghosts.
Yep.
You're just seeing spooky happenings. Things are moving. Things are creaking. She conjures the ghosts with her incantation, and then boom, there's ghosts.
I will say, whenever I'm like looking down that hallway and I'm seeing the candelabra, I always feel like I should be seeing something down there.
Yeah.
That I'm not.
Because they're invisible.
It's like spooky, kind of yeah. like, ooh, what's holding that?
Right.
But I'm like, am I missing something here?
Nope.
I will say, going through the library, though, with the busts that are looking at you,
yeah.
I never understand how that effect works. I've had people explain it to me. It's just so cool.
Yep. Oh, and a rumor killer, Walt Disney is not one of the singing busts. I've heard that from enough
people.
Yeah,
I've heard that too. No, of course he's not.
Yeah, it would be weird to actually have Walt Disney as a ghost in the Haunted Mansion. Um,
the pipe organ, actually, in the ballroom scene is an exact copy of the Disneyland organ for the Haunted Mansion, which is an original movie prop from the 1964 yep. Disney film 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's a little fun fact.
They had to modify it, though.
Yeah, of course. How do you feel about the attic?
I like it.
I do, too. It's one of my favorite parts of the attraction. Do you buy into the whole, like, the ghost bride pushes you out the window, and then the ghosts interact with you because you're now a ghost? I don't like to think that I was murdered on the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, we've said that before. Yeah. I never felt that way either. I am cool with, like, falling out the window or something.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, I like going backwards.
Get away.
Though that actually, I mean, I think I've said this before, but, like, I got stopped. Like, the ride stopped while I was, like, backwards in, like, the reclining
position.
I've
had that happen. Listen, I was on this ride one time with my wife. We didn't have kids yet. And a couple morons on the ride got off the ride.
What?
In it.
How do you even do that?
They jumped right out of their dune buggy.
Oh, my goodness.
And they stopped the ride. And you hear, like, it's like, you know, real people now, like, chiming in, like, you know, like, please stay in your vehicle. Like, it was insane. Because these kids were running around. I was like, this is ridiculous.
How do you? Oh, my goodness.
Not fun.
No, definitely not fun. Speaking of the dune buggies, probably my favorite. They were like, you could put four wheels on any ride vehicle and ride it around your town. I'm picking a dune buggy.
You know, I love the dune buggy because I'm like a Haunted Mansion, like, you know, fanatic.
Right.
Is it my favorite ride vehicle?
I mean, listen, there's nothing special really about the dune buggy and its design, but I love it. I love the name. I love everything
about it. No, everything is real cool about it. I don't know if it's my favorite ride.
What would your favorite be? Like, not the Clanmobile, would it? Or
no, I still think getting in that pirate ship on Peter Pan and flying.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool as well. I mean, it's I don't know. The dune buggy is it for me, man. Like, it just, you know, give me a dune buggy with four wheels on it, and I'm good. Dune buggy.
I'm a big fan of the boat over in the Mexico, Rio de Tiempo.
Yeah.
Come on, it's a big floating boat.
Well, there's a lot of big floating boats. I'm going to be like, where are you going with this?
The big green floating boat.
Yep. That's what it is, all right. Now I just got a pang of loss from the Viking ships in Maelstrom.
It is cool that the ghosts, you know, put the bar down.
Yeah, that is really neat. I love that. I mean, come on, it's controlled by ghosts.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
So then, obviously, how cool is it now knowing that we're going to have ride video?
Can't wait.
Oh, it's gonna be so great. I mean, you know, we're gonna have to wait till like the next trip after this year to do that, but I mean,
yeah, when are they saying that's gonna happen?
Well, they're closing it down in December for the refurb,
right?
So when it reopens, I guess next year, it would be early next year, it would be available.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Yeah. So have you ever noticed the door as you're exiting called Servants Quarters?
I've seen it, yes.
Have you ever opened it?
No.
Oh, well, you should. It's actually a little hidden gem of the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, what's in there?
There are keys. Well, there used to be keys. There are racks like for where keys are, and it's got like each of the like names of all the rooms in the mansion where like the keys would go, but the keys are all gone, meaning the ghosts have like spirited them away. I think there used to be keys on them, actually, but, you know, they've all wandered away mysteriously.
Right.
There's also, remember in Cinderella, when the way they would call Cinderella with the bells and like the Cinderella and the bells ring, they have those as well
going
to all the guest rooms. So it's just like a little neat little side area.
I'm going to do that now.
Yeah, there's no cast members only sign on it, so you can open it.
Oh, I'm going to definitely do that.
Yeah. Now the subject of the ring, the one ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all. And in the darkness bind them. No, I'm kidding. I just really wanted to say that.
Wrong franchise.
No, folks, we're talking about the legend of the engagement ring. In the exit queue of the Haunted Mansion originally, there was a small metal ring in the ground. And people, and this is the beautiful thing about Disney fans, is people would be like, why is there a ring in the ground? There must be a story behind this ring in the ground. So obviously, you're thinking ring, you're thinking the Ghost Bride. The Ghost Bride threw it out the window when she died or something like that, and it got trampled into the ground. But in actuality, that ring was just the leftover piece of a former pole that used to be in the exit queue. Now, when they redesign the queue, they take the ring out. But because people loved the ring so much, they actually put a legitimate, actual ring in the pavement for the entrance queue.
Right.
And I think the story behind it is when Constance dies, the ring flies out the window, and the invisible horse tramples it into the ground. really neat.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I do miss the original ring, but I like that they were like, okay, people like this ring, let's put it back in. Like, Disney listens to its fans. They're just like, this ring was not intended to be anything, but, you know, they have to put it in anyway. I like that. Do you spend any time in the near the mausoleum when you exit, like looking at the funny names and whatnot?
Yeah, I've taken pictures and such.
Yeah, I mean, Manifestation, Hallucination, and Bluebeard and stuff like that. I mean, those are really cool.
I always try and get decent pictures of the
Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, sometimes a little too sunny for that.
Yeah, I love trying to find the Mr. Toad.
Yep, way in the back.
Yep, obviously, folks, there's a statue of Thaddeus Toad commemorating Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which is an extinct attraction in Walt Disney World, but you can still find it in Disneyland. Don't worry about
that. You know, one of the rare attractions where, when it's, you know, knock wood, when we're there, it's usually bright and sunny and beautiful outside. But when it is not bright and sunny and beautiful, there's only one ride in the whole park that looks awesome.
Right.
It's Haunted Mansion.
It is.
I mean, going across, like, you know, the river and taking pictures.
No matter what.
Across,
it
looks so cool.
You get a good view of it from the riverboat as well. I know you've never done that.
Yeah, I haven't. You're right.
Yeah.
You know what's cool, too, is if you do, I don't know if they still do, I don't know if they did it this year, but when you go on Haunted Mansion during Mickey's Not So Scary.
Right.
A lot of times they will have, like, a ghost outside, like, talking to the people online. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Super entertaining.
I've seen, like, maids and stuff out there during Not
No,
So
no,
Scary.
No, no, no. This is, like, on the grass up there.
Oh, like a ghost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
And, like, they're kind of projecting, like, light on her, so she looks, like, super ghostly and stuff.
Super
and she's
neat.
Talking to the people passing by.
Oh, how neat.
How neat is that?
Well, I mean, I think the next thing we need to discuss is Not So Scary and how the Haunted Mansion just kind of takes over the Magic Kingdom during it. I mean, it really makes Halloween the Haunted Mansion's time. And that's the story of Not So Scary. The ghost host narrates, or the manifestation of the ghost host, narrates the Happy Hallowishes.
Right.
And they're a big part of the Boo to You Parade.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the most important thing is the Boo to You Parade. I mean, the ghosts are so cool in it.
Yeah, you see the hitchhiking ghosts.
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness. So amazing. You know, and then in Disneyland, they do the whole Nightmare Before Christmas get up on it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
By the way, I love when you're talking, by the way, and nobody ever, oh, that's really cool. He just showed me the picture of the hearse with the ghost.
Yeah, 2005.
That's really neat. I love when, folks, you can't see it, but sometimes Pete gets, like, so into a topic that he jumps up out of his seat and, like, starts walking around behind his counter.
I do pace a little bit when
I talk. Just like, I've got so much energy about this topic that I must get up. I stay seated for the entire thing.
Something about that.
But yeah, I mean, Not So Scary. I mean, this is my grievous fault. I did not do the Haunted Mansion when I was at Not So Scary.
Oh, really?
I sat over by it. I wanted to look at it, but the line was so long.
The line's crazy.
Yeah. Because everybody coming in wants to do Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, and it doesn't really lighten up usually.
No, never. Never. So we didn't actually do it. And plus, you know, like, it was the end of the trip, so, like, we were, like, crippled, basically.
And you had ridden it already by that point.
Oh, yeah, we had ridden it already. But yeah, I mean, Not So Scary, what an experience that always is.
Were they doing a Haunted Mansion special photo for...
You know, I don't remember. I mean, if they were, we weren't getting it.
I remember at one point, like, Heather and I were walking, so there were no kids with us at this point. So we were... but there was photo pass. My kids were probably with my in-laws. And there was a guy with his camera facing the Haunted Mansion. And he was like, way out there, photo pass photographer. And I'm like, what? I can't even figure out. There's nobody here. Like, there's no one even close to here. I'm like, what is this guy? So I'm like, oh, are you taking pictures, like, of the Haunted Mansion?
Right.
He's like, no, we're doing a magic photo with the ghosts. And I'm like, you guys need a sign or something saying you're doing magic photos with the ghosts. So Heather and I got a bunch of pictures with us and the hitchhiking ghosts. It was awesome. But I feel like people had no idea, like, you know, this was this guy's intent for standing there.
Right.
But it was great.
That's great. That's
super
so
cool
awesome.
Pictures.
The hitchhiking ghost scaring you. That's great. But yeah, so, and then the Haunted Mansion, different experience at night. Completely.
I get that.
Oh, at least the queue is. I mean,
yeah, the queue definitely is.
There's nothing like going through that queue at night.
Right.
Oh, what a cool experience that always is. And the last thing I want to talk about, Grim Grinning Ghosts.
The song?
Yeah, and how much we love it.
Love that song.
I mean, it really, you know what? Grim Grinning Ghosts, I think, is the moment, like, for the kids where, like, it's like, oh, it's okay. The afterlife is just one big party, and, you know, it's
you
like,
know
these ghosts
funny?
Aren't scary. They're happy haunts.
When Ethan was little, We would play that song all the time. And he always, you know, that song is also split into two, much like The Ride.
Uh-huh.
He only wanted to hear the first half.
Really? That
Not the awesome, like, second fun half. No, no. He wants to hear the first scary half.
Hinges creak in doorless chambers. Oh, it's so cool.
Loves it.
Yeah.
I like how they work a lot of that into the not-so-scary soundtrack.
They
also.
Do. They really do.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a ghost host. He's the host of that, right?
He does. He hosts Hollywood.
So he's all over that. Yeah, he's all over that CD.
He's interacting with all the Disney villains and whatnot.
I love that.
It's great.
He's like, you hear the doorbell. He's like welcoming them.
Yep. Who could that be?
Really
it's
cool.
It's Ursula and it's Jafar. It's, you know, like the best fireworks show on property, bar none.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
All right. So you got anything else?
Well, I could really talk all night about it.
About the Haunted Mansion and how much we love it. Yeah. Oh, you know what? One last thing I wanted to touch on. It's not even a Walt Disney World thing. It's a Disneyland thing. But the Hatbox Ghost.
Love the Hatbox Ghost.
People love this Hatbox
Ghost. I love the Hatbox Ghost.
But you know what? Nobody's seen the Hatbox Ghost in how many years?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been decades, right?
You know, last year when I went, I was in Art of Disney. You know, there's one in each park.
Right.
The one for Magic Kingdom's right on Main Street. I went in. Disney has a really cool line. They're not really big figs. I guess they're kind of medium figs.
Right.
I think they're $95. Super cool. I'm like, I walk in there, and they had the Hatbox Ghost
one. Wow, neat.
Now, I found it nowhere else in the entire park on my entire trip, but I'm like, I'm getting this Hatbox Ghost.
Right.
Actually, and it wasn't the only Hatbox Ghost thing I bought. Also, last year's Halloween popcorn container was Mickey as the Hatbox Ghost.
Oh, that's so
I've
cool.
I've never bought one of them. Every year, I'm like, I'm going to get this R2-D2 one, but I would never do anything with it. But that one, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get it. Typically, my kids like a popcorn as we're going to see the Beauty and the Beast show in Hollywood Studios. So I got one, and I put it out for Halloween. So.
That's really cool. Yeah. Ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say about the Haunted Mansion? All right. Kayla Battiello, the number one fan of the Haunted Mansion, says, I try and leave a rose on Master Gracie's grave each time I go down. The first time I did this, one of the managers saw me and came up to me. I thought I was in trouble, but he said, Master Gracie, thanks you. He made sure the rose stayed there for 2 days. My father and I went back to check.
Nice.
That's really neat. Samuel Murphy says, it was the first ride I ever went on in Disney. I rode it with my mom, and I just remember how mind-blowing it was for me seeing the ghost in the Doom Buggy with us. My mom and I were both smiling ear to ear. Rosanna Manzer says, it's a family favorite. We all love it, and I love the anticipation and look on my kids' faces when they are waiting for and then see the hitchhiking ghost in our Doom Buggy with us. Kate Smith says, the very first time I kept my eyes open through the whole ride was when I was 33. What can I say? I'm a huge chicken.
I like that.
Chris Landfair, my buddy Christopher Wickersham Landfair, says, too much awesome to narrow down. From the interactive graves to the ghost host to the amazing ballroom scene, this attraction is and always will be my favorite and must be done multiple times and usually the last thing done in the parks on my trip so it stays fresh in my mind. Chris Probelski says Haunted Mansion was one of the few, maybe only attractions I rode multiple times. The first time out in 2008. When I went again with my daughter in 2013, I was happy that it turned out to be her favorite as well. She had done Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique that day and was cute as anything walking through that queue and onto the attraction in her princess garb. Just great fun for all of us. We're really bummed about the closing for our trip in December. Susie Scott, I'm sorry I can't read this on the air. I'll share that one with you later.
Oh, okay.
Paul Tower Nikki says, love the new queue area, especially the tombstone with the musical instruments that play when you touch them. There's no sign to instruct people to touch them, so people around us didn't know about it and then got a kick out of playing them too. Thanks to your podcast for letting me know about this feature in the queue. Also, the details in the Haunted Mansion are amazing. The dining room, the paintings, the books, and so much more. Gigi Pistone says, the ghost who entertained us in line during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party was a big hit. Same one you're talking about. On a regular trip, I love the hitchhiking ghost at the end. They swapped our heads. Jeffrey Contapassis says, my dad reaching around my pack and tapping me on the shoulder. He thought it was hilarious.
That's great.
Jordan Becker says, my favorite part is the cast members. I love when they sneak up behind a guest in the stretching room. Corinne Chandler, who was with us last week, says, the first time I saw the ghost in the ballroom is such a vivid memory for me. I was fascinated by them. It's still my favorite part of the ride. Tara Christmas says, I agree with Chris Landfair. You can't narrow it down to just one thing. The ghost host, the stretching room, the hitchhiking ghost, the Hatbox ghost, even if he's just a picture on the wall. And my favorite song, Grim Grinning Ghost. The Haunted Mansion is a brilliant attraction. Mikey Wisenhunt says, since I've only ridden it once, I would say my most memorable experience on the Haunted Mansion was getting stuck right in front of the Ghost Bride for 3 minutes. That part of the ride is really dark, so I got to appreciate the projector work on that brought her to life. Also, since we went during Mickey's Not So Scary, we were treated to the ghost lady on the lawn as she mocked folks passing by. Too funny. And finally, Jeff Cheney just says, the ballroom.
Would you ever? Could you imagine doing a trip and not doing it?
No.
I mean, it's the one ride that you. I mean, I've done it every time. Maybe not the one ride, but man, it's close to being the only ride.
Yeah.
That you just could not do on a trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has to be done.
Yeah, totally.
I agree.
It's got to be like it's the perfect Disney attraction. Like from the queue to the exit queue to the attraction itself to the characters to the music, there is not one thing that I do not like on the Haunted Mansion.
I agree. Me too.
Except getting stuck. Actually, you know, even when I get stuck on it, I don't mind.
I've never been really, really stuck.
If the ride stops, like to load on someone with disabilities or whatnot, I will take that opportunity to look up, down, and all around.
Me
and
too.
Everything. There's just one part where there's like a clock behind, almost behind you, and when you turn around, like you see like a hand creeping across.
Yeah,
like, there's just little things that you notice.
I don't
each
love that
time
effect,
it's something
though.
New. What?
I don't. It's the grandfather clock that goes to 13.
Yeah,
and you see the hand. Like, yep. Yeah. I felt like last time I went on, they were really projecting the hand a lot, so it just seemed
like
it was on rotation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
Yeah,
but I actually really like that part. It's one of the rare parts where you can really get a good glimpse of like the wallpaper and how cool it is.
And folks, there's so much information on the Haunted Mansion out there online. I mean, like, look up as much as you can. We barely even scratched the surface here.
I know, we could do a part two.
Oh, I know.
That would make you very happy.
You know, like the 13 candles on the birthday cake and the ballroom scene, and it's just so great.
And what about the not hidden Mickey?
The non-existent hidden Mickey that's actually sometimes there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an official hidden Mickey. It's the plates and cups or saucers. That form a hidden Mickey, but it's supposedly not an official hidden Mickey.
I will say also one of the first hidden Mickeys like my kids made at home.
Yeah.
You know, because they saw
everybody does that.
Right. And they're like, look,
I do it in restaurants.
Right. Why not?
Yeah.
And that's going to do it for the Best of Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me for this little trip down memory lane. Always love bringing you guys the best of what we've done in the past. It's always fun to revisit and, you know, see where the show's come in that time and, you know, kind of like look back at some of our more memorable segments. And I promise new stuff coming at you next week. So just, you know, please thank you guys so much for bearing with me for the last couple weeks where I've just been pulling my hair out. You know, because we've just been so busy. So, folks, please give our social media pages some love. You can find Two Men in the Mouse on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men in the Mouse, on Twitter at Two Men in the Mouse. You can also find the White Dragon Podcast Network as a whole at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and on Twitter at White Dragon PN. We're also on Instagram at White Dragon PN with lots of Disney pictures. And we're on Periscope at White Dragon Podcast Network. Again, I haven't really had a lot of time to get to the parks lately because of the website and everything. So I will be Periscoping again from the parks very soon. Actually, might Periscope tomorrow, Saturday the 24th from Universal Studios. So that should be kind of fun. Please tweet us or tag us in photos of you guys in the parks throughout the years. We'd love to stack our pages with photos of our great listeners enjoying that, which we all love, Disney parks. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@twomeninthemouse.com. And folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it with your friends, share it with a family member, tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously, and it's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel, please visit him at his comic book store, Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Also, check out roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. And if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please give our good friend and sponsor Dave Weigert of Magical Travel a ring. You can find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. And for me, folks, the only thing I ask is if you're even a little bit of a geek and you like any of the TV shows that we're reviewing over at geekwatchtower.com, please check it out. Tell a friend about it. Make it your one-stop shop for news. Thank you so much, guys. And thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Normally, I'd ask Pete if he had any closing words. He'd probably be like, it's okay. Not sure I ever need another. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week for a brand new Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.